Really honored to have Anna Pirakova join us this morning. Anna from the Ukraine, living here in Southern Illinois. Morning, Annie. How are you this morning, ma'am?
Good morning, sir. I'm okay. How are you doing?
Good. First thing, when I announced you were coming on the air this morning, your coworkers were texting me and say hi to Anna. So.
Oh, okay. That's great.
The first one came from Rita this morning. She says, make sure and tell Anna I said hi. How long have you been in the United States now, Anna?
It's already been over 8 years.
Yeah? What do you think? What about your time here? Was it a shock?
No, it wasn't a shock. The matter is, I've been all over the world. I've been traveling a lot. And when I came to the United States, yeah, I live in Kyiv all my life. So it's a huge city in comparison to Southern Illinois, where I live now. It's a little town, but I'm used to it, and I like it.
What I find interesting is I watch videos, translations of people who are there, and some of the attitude that I have seen from the soldiers, like the attitude where the ship was off the coast calling for them to surrender and they sent their message out. The thing that I think interesting is when I watch these, I see Americans speaking Ukrainian. You know, I mean, I see people I feel like I know.
The will, the pride. Yes, it is. It's a lot of common, because I know here about a lot of people that are military now, and they look a lot alike.
So when it comes to this, what do you want to see happen in your country? When I use that question, what do you want to see the American government, the American people do to help your native country?
To do everything possible to supply the military supplies, because they need weapons. And they need weapons not only to protect, but just to kick them out of our country.
And, you know, when your hometown is literally front page news every day, because I see the streets and I'm shocked. I'm not sure, I don't know how to explain it. I think maybe you might do a better job. You look and I can't believe just the destruction on a single street, let alone on citywide. I have a hard time grasping it. A modern city with tanks rolled over and blown to pieces. I'm having a hard time reconciling that.
For me, it's really hard. It's already been 70 days. Today's day 70. So it's been every day. My day starts from I'm calling all my family, my friends, and checking if they're okay.
And what do they tell you? And
a lot of my parents still there. My brother is there. But a lot of my friends with little kids, they moved to Poland, to France, to United Kingdom. They have to. Because there is no safe place, because you don't know where they will shoot their missiles and everything else.
Did you know, when you grew up in Kyiv, and you know, with history being what it is, we're a little detached from the European history, I think. Were you shocked that Russia actually invaded, or had you really kind of anticipated this for much of your life?
We've been anticipating this for much of the life, especially last 8 years. I left before it all started. It started 8 years ago.
Is that one of the reasons why you left?
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, we've been living 8 years, and nobody knew when, but we knew it was going to happen.
And there are other countries. I think ever since the Crimea, I think they use, like, they're not fooling around here is really the kind of thought that, you know, I mean, it seems like every year from me being a news person, I at one point or another hear a story about them being positioned and it's war games. And I kind of thought maybe that might be the case this year. But of course, the U.S. talking more and more about, no, the intelligence, but, you know, they'd come in periodically and say, oh, they're war games. Doesn't stop you them scaring the hell out of you in the process.
But ours, you see how our people fight? They are not scared. Because we are in our own country, and they protect their own country and their own families, their own kids.
And that, I think, is the bottom line about how somebody wins.
Exactly. It doesn't mean how many troops you have, what weapons you have. It's a will. It's inside spirit. And Ukrainians are really strong.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a professor at SIU, and they said, he told me, he says, you know, the United States is the only only country that has a language that has the word home, that everybody else's language means house or building, and that the idea of home is intrinsically an American idea. After listening to you speak, I don't believe that to be the case. This is our home, and we're not going to let you do that. There's something that motivates you at that point.
It's the same there, completely. And, you know, for all this 8 years, a lot of times, having an accent and stuff, people, are you Russian? No, I'm not. And they're like, but it's the same. No, it's not. Now the whole world can see how different it is. Even if we have a border with them, it doesn't mean we're the same. We're completely different in our heart. We're completely different in our brain.
What point do you think mom and dad will decide to leave?
They won't leave.
They will stay in and then hold out.
You see, people live all their life. They have a house. They have their routine. They're over 70 years old, and they're not that healthy to go and stay on the border for days, okay?
Right.
So they live in 80 miles away from Kyiv, southern direction and stuff. So it's a pretty safe place for now because a lot of refugees, it's a little town, like 15,000 people. So over 15,000 people now moved there.
So when it comes to mom and dad, what have they talked about when it comes to difficulties? For instance, I just watched this morning one of the stories, I think it was Liev, where the power was restored. It had been out for a pretty good stretch of time. What are the obstacles your parents face? Is it food? Is it energy?
Even if the energy goes down, the matter is how it's operating. So they have a wood burner stove.
Right.
And they stocked a bunch of wood. So if it comes to no electricity, no gas, they can still warm the house. It is getting warmer there, much warmer. Yeah. They can cook the food and doing everything possible, but they're not going to leave.
You know, when it comes to something like this, you think it never happens. But I think, and after listening to you talk, I've heard a certain level of, I've not really heard anything other than worry. I don't hear you being afraid, but what I do hear is a defiance, you know, that we're going to stick this out. We're going to hold it out. And a country of people doing that, pretty motivating. I think I get the idea. I've experienced it. I watched that. I'm proud of that person. You know how you meet people, especially in retail, and you worry about the humanity. And then I see people doing things, and I'm going, that's somebody I want on my team. That's somebody I think I want. I would want them on my team. There's a source of pride there that's derived from this.
My team supports me a lot. Every time I'm coming to work, they all asking how it's going, how am I holding up, because even to watch it every day. Some people can turn off the news. I can't. The matter is, I need to know what's going on, what's happening, what's next. Because a lot of our volunteer team in Ukraine, they can find a dinosaur, okay, if they need it. That's how it works. Because my mom, she's 74, she went to all possible volunteer organizations, and she's a doctor, and offered them help to do anything, to cook the food, and they said, we have so many people in line to be volunteers, so you just go home and rest.
Well, that's, and your mom's, would you say 94, a doctor, and went to help?
No, 74.
74. Good. Yeah. Don't tell her I made that mistake next time we talk, all right?
No. She looks good.
Okay, all right. Is there anything that we can do for you, in particular you here, that you can use to help people in Ukraine? I'm curious about if there's something I can do to help you.
I don't even know what to say because months ago we made a big fundraiser and we raised the money. We purchased the bulletproof vest for level 4 protection. And as far as the demand is so high, they took 21 days to get them done. So now I'm waiting. They will be delivered to my house completely. And then we're going to take them to Chicago. There is a Ukrainian company that ships them for free.
Great. Anna Pirakova joining us this morning. She's Ukrainian native. She works. You work in Carbondale, right? Is that correct?
No, I work in Marion Dillard.
It's the Marion location. All right. Mm-hmm. Said her coworkers called this morning, and I've been hearing about you now for a couple of weeks, so I'm really glad you were able to join us this morning. And if there's something else I can do or the station can do when it comes to information and sharing, I'd hope you'd reach out and let me know because I'm anxious to be able to help.
I will keep in touch, and I will let you know.
Anna Pirakova, the Ukrainian native who now lives with us here in Southern Illinois. It's now 7:31.